This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Third and final hour of the program here on Friday morning. And as I mentioned before, we had a situation for a number of years now where a woman who actually existed over 100 years ago, about 200 years ago, actually, but a woman who actually existed has been unfairly maligned and called things such as a witch, a baby killer, a demon, in association with the story of the Conjuring House. And it led to vandals destroying the headstone on her grave. And now it's been replaced with a beautiful new stone, thanks to the effort of our upcoming guest and others. And I did record this last night because our guest couldn't join us live. It's too early where she is to come on with us live in the morning. So I stayed up late and we were able to have this conversation last night. So the sound quality might not be as perfect as we'd like it, but let's go to that conversation right now.
All right. We are joined now by Jamie Rubio, who, Jamie, how would you describe the work that you do?
Well, I consider myself somebody who wants to preserve accurate history. You could call me a historian or a historical investigative journalist, but the bottom line is that I love history and I'm just trying to be one of the preservers of the past.
And so as such, that interest has led you to the case of Bathsheba Sherman, who was associated with the Conjuring House in terms of legend, but as you've come to find out in reality, that probably wasn't the case. So before we get into all of that, kind of set up for us what the fiction is that has been developed about Bathsheba Sherman.
Okay, so starting in 1973, and this is very, very important that people remember this, the stories about Bathsheba Sherman did not exist anywhere on record whatsoever on this earth until 1973, when they were made up. And after that, the story was that she had been associated with the house on Round Top Road, that she had worked there, that she had killed a baby. Some people have said that it was her own infant. Others had said that it was when she was watching a child. It's very vague, trying to claim that she killed a baby, stabbing it in the head with a needle of some point, something sharp in the back of the head, sacrificing it to Satan. It's all ridiculous, but that's what was said. That was the folklore that started in 1973 and spread like wildfire, especially after Andrea Perrin's book came out. And then, of course, when the Conjuring film came out, it got 100 times worse. They tried to say she was a witch and that she was accused of all of these things, and none of that was true whatsoever.
So you say this came about in 1973. How did this information come about? Was it just through the Perrin family and the research that they did into what might have been going on in their house?
Well, my personal opinion, based on everything that I've done with my research and interviewing various people, including locals that lived in Burrillville at the time, yes, it was a combination of Carolyn Perrin and Lorraine Warren and the Warrens in general, but the original story started with the Perrin family, and I believe it snowballed into a larger story as the Warrens used the opportunity to inject themselves into the story.
And I think part of the issue with stories like this is, and you've referenced this in your writings, is that when somebody doesn't have a lot of history about them, when they're just a regular everyday person, so they're therefore there wouldn't really be a lot of information about them out there, that kind of leaves things open for people to make things up. Why was it that there wasn't anybody in 1973 or in the time since then standing up for Bathsheba Sherman to say, well, hold on, where exactly are you getting this information from? Were the people who were the historians of the time, would you say that they might have been complicit in the development of this legend?
Nobody believed the Perrins. So they just thought it was ridiculous stories that were being told, and nobody believed anything they said. And I got that from Pam Kenyon. And she was the granddaughter of Earl Kenyon, the gentleman who sold the house to the Perrins.
So they're already, you know, at this point, the story is already being called into question, but then it becomes a movie. And the movie is where things really start to kick into high gear, because in a movie, you know, the people who are making the film, they need a villain. They need an antagonist in the film. And this gave them the chance to add in that, you know, based on a true story aspect of it, because she was a person who really lived. And so they were able to vilify her in that movie. I'm wondering why, you know, that was able to happen. Why nobody stepped in and said, why don't we just change the name to a fictional character, and then we can go on with this legend and story without having to smear this woman any further?
Yeah, they really dropped the ball, everybody involved. Like I said, the locals in Burrillville knew none of that was true when it was being spoken about. Honestly, I don't believe it picked up any steam until Andrea wrote the book. So I think Carolyn mentioned it, and of course Lorraine and them tried to get, you know, some exposure for it. It died down. The Amityville case took off, and that was like the more infamous, you know, story for a long time. So I believe that everybody just kind of forgot about the stories that Carolyn said about the house. And when Andrea decided, oh, I'm going to write a book about it, she kind of just dug up all of the old stories and promoted it. And so it was so many years after the fact, I think she just felt like the older people wouldn't remember, you know, to check. And so she just threw out all this information without doing any research at all, and continually saying that the town historian told her mother this and that. This historian, she claims, never existed. He didn't. So it's real easy to make up a fake historian that told you a bunch of stories that never happened, and nobody questioned her at all. And so she publishes her book. She sells a lot of copies. People believe it. If you were to have spoken to anyone at the Historical Society, they would have told you, no, this is all a lie. So there were people coming out way back when she wrote her book saying, no, this isn't true. One of the gentlemen that was spearheading telling the truth about Bathsheba, his name was Kent Spotswood, and he was a local historian. He passed away during COVID, so he's unfortunately not here to talk to you, but we were good friends. And, you know, everybody in Burrillville knew the truth, that none of that had ever happened.
And, you know, I see all these websites now that are, and all these blogs and all these written reports that are trying to correct the history and are trying to come forward and say, you know, well, Bathsheba wasn't a witch. And, but even these attempts at correcting the legend that has gotten out there still reference that there was some sort of trial about the murder, about the suspicious death of a child. And you say in your research, none of that is true.
No, none of it ever happened. There's no records. And the person that keeps perpetuating that nonsense is Andrea Perrin. She was just recorded on the Dave Schrader show over the weekend speaking about that again. It's ridiculous. There was no inquest whatsoever. There were no records. That is all a farce. And the sooner people realize that, the better.
And there's no record, as far as you can find or anybody could find, of Bathsheba Sherman even being associated with the Arnold Farm, the property that has become known as the Conjuring House. She lived, you know, a distance away from there that in those days would have been, they would have had no reason to even travel to that property.
Well, they lived in the same town. So, I mean, the families are all connected in, you know, different ways. They're neighbors, they know each other. There's no reason to assume that she was close to the Arnold family, and there's no record of it. She lived a fairly normal life. I mean, she had some tragedy. She had four children. Three of them died young, normal deaths, nothing that would cause alarm. And the fourth child, he lived to be an adult. But yeah, she never had any mark or any sort of bad reputation whatsoever during the time that she was alive. And she died an old woman in her bed from a stroke of paralysis. Again, you know, even at her funeral, she had a reverend, you know, give the eulogy, and she was buried in the cemetery. She was a Christian woman. If you had done something that was bad, even if you were just accused of it or suspected of it, when you died, sadly, newspapers, because they wanted to sell papers, they would exploit that. And I know, because I've been doing this for over 20 years, I've read thousands upon thousands of obituaries. And trust me, if something had happened and she had been involved, it would have been mentioned in her obituary, and it was not.
Absolutely. And if there was any truth to any witchcraft rumors, she wouldn't have been buried in consecrated ground. She wouldn't have been in that cemetery.
Exactly. And I mean, given the time period that she lived, we're not talking about the Salem witch trials time period. This was the 1800s, and that was just not something that anybody even brought up back then. So, you know, the idea of the whole witchcraft thing, that, like I said, it started in the 70s, in 1973, in fact. And this was after Mr. Kenyon passed away. And it just seems like they waited until the former owner died and he couldn't, you know, say anything to fight back against the rumors about the house and about Bathsheba. And they waited till he passed away to tell this fabricated story.
So, I mean, you were really able to debunk pretty much everything in the legend. There's no infanticide, no babies died. She didn't kill herself by hanging herself on a tree in the property. She lived to a ripe old age. I mean, the only thing about the Bathsheba Sherman story that is true is that there was a woman named Bathsheba Sherman that lived in Barville, Rhode Island.
Exactly.
And as I've seen, there was actually more than one Bathsheba Sherman.
There was a Bathsheba that she was actually named after her father's first wife. But her maiden name was Thayer. But I haven't found any other Bathsheba Shermans in the area.
No, I just saw a report that said that there was they had a photo of somebody that's like, this wouldn't be her because she wouldn't have been that age at that time. But anyway, maybe that's just another, you know, mistaken identity. Even that one. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say something about the photos. That's a problem that I've had for a few years now. People keep posting these pictures of women claiming they're Bathsheba Sherman, and they're not. Mm-hmm. And they even go so far as to go onto her Find a Grave memorial and post the photographs. And I've had to write Find a Grave over and over and have them remove them. And then they put it, somebody puts them back up. And these are not Bathsheba Sherman. There is not one photo in existence of Bathsheba Sherman. So if anybody sees one claiming to be her, it is not.
So now all of this legend and lore that has developed led to the grave of Bathsheba Sherman in Boroughville that had been undisturbed for so many years until the Conjuring House, until the Conjuring movie comes out and the house becomes a popular destination. People are going to that cemetery. What happened to her headstone?
Well, her headstone had had a little bit of damage over the years. It happens with older stones. I mean, she died a very long time ago. And, you know, I go to hundreds of cemeteries, and the older stones, sometimes they break, sometimes they tip over. Well, hers had had some damage back in, I'd say in the 60s or 70s, and it was repaired. But because of that, it was in more of a fragile state. And so when the movie came out and people were assuming that she was a witch and jumping to conclusions, people came and vandalized her grave and broke it several times. It wasn't just once, it was a couple of times, to the point that it was no longer repairable. So Betty at the Historical Society had to move it to permanent storage. And that made me so upset that I, you know, kept in contact with Betty for many years and discussed trying to get a new headstone for her. And eventually I decided to just set up a fundraiser to do that. And thankfully, it took a couple of years, but thankfully we reached our goal. And last Friday, we were able to see the whole, it come to fruition when Betty and Carlo were able to put her new headstone in the cemetery.
And it's a beautiful stone. And just for anybody that hasn't a chance to see, we're going to have a story up at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app with this interview and with photos of what it looks like. But kind of describe to people how it looks in comparison to the original.
Yes, they did a fantastic job. It was Ocean State Monument that did the work. And they did a fantastic job trying to, you know, I think the actual stone itself is a little different. And it's a little smaller, but they did a fantastic job trying to recreate the original.
And now, what will be the protocols that will be in place to make sure that the same thing doesn't happen again? I mean, hopefully now the true story's gotten out there, so people, you know, won't treat it the same way as they did previously. But will there be people that are going there on a regular basis, checking on it, keeping, you know, making sure it's kept up with?
Yes, Betty and the Historical Society, she's always at the cemetery with her husband working on the headstones. They do preservation work and she's keeping an eye on it. We had discussed putting in some sort of a plaque or signage next to her grave that explains the situation and how she was victimized and that she was an innocent person who was slandered in death for something she didn't do. And that way people will respect her grave and realize that all of the accusations that have been shared over the years were unfounded.
You know, this is a problem that we encounter a lot looking back in history, is that so many stories become bastardized, become changed, and become, instead of, you know, and people like to call it folklore, but it's not really folklore. It's fake lore. It's something that's made up. This is something that is actually rampant throughout history, but luckily now with the internet, with people being able to research these things deeper, we're able to clear the names of a lot of people who've been accused of things over the years. I'm just thinking of, you know, Reverend Thomas Barnard, who was associated for a long time with the Salem witch trials as an accuser. It's only been in the last, you know, 10 years or so that they found out that he was actually somebody who was trying to exonerate the accused. So we're able to give a fresh perspective to history and clear the names of some people who have been, you know, unfairly demonized over the years.
Yes, that's wonderful. I wasn't even aware of that, but that's wonderful that they were able to do that for him, because Everybody deserves to have their story told with accuracy and respect. And, you know, that's my personal opinion, is that every gravestone has a story to tell. And I feel privileged that I'm one of the ones that's able to do that for people.
But I mean, that also must be a huge challenge to you know, find these stories, find these people who have been vilified in history, and being able to dig in and find the right story, because there is so much to dig through. Like I said, even the Bathsheba stories, and all this time of trying to clear her name, they're still not getting the information accurate. So you must have to dig through so much to be able to get to the real truth of some of these matters.
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, but I've been doing it for so many years that, you know, it comes as second nature to me to jump in and just start researching. I'm very particular about my research and getting all of the facts straight. I won't report anything unless I know absolutely that it's right. I get so irritated. That's such a pet peeve of mine, when I would find podcasts or YouTube videos or articles online about Bathsheba, and it's just the standard copy and paste of somebody else's work, and it's not even accurate. And so for years, I was constantly writing people and trying to share the true history and hoping that they would fix their articles or redact their stories. You know, it was an uphill battle, and it's been going on for over 10 years now with this Bathsheba Sherman story. And I'm just happy to see so many people now sharing the truth. The tide has turned, and I'm just ecstatic about all of this, and that she has her new headstone. I feel like things are looking up.
Absolutely. And if people want to follow along with your work, how can they do so?
Well, I'm on Facebook and Instagram, Jamie Rubio Writer, and my website's Jamie Rubio Writer. So it's easy to remember.
And we'll make sure we have it linked up in the story too at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Jamie, I want to thank you for joining us and for sharing the true story of Bathsheba Sherman. And I can promise you, at least on this show and in all the work that I do, we will continue to tell the proper and true story of who she was.
Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, that was Jamie Rubio, and we will have that for you on podcast, as well as the story coming up. I got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get the news from Phil. We will be right back.
Hunter Biden could get 17 years behind bars. The 14-year-old charged with murder in Georgia appears in court today. And the Boeing Starliner heads home.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Hunter Biden could face 17 years in prison after pleading guilty to all counts in his federal tax trial on Thursday. His attorney addressed the media.
Hunter decided to enter his plea to protect those he loves from unnecessary hurt and cruel humiliation.
The president's son is accused of failing to pay more than $1 million in federal taxes during a four-year period beginning in 2016. Sentencing is scheduled for December 16th. The 14-year-old being charged with four counts of felony murder following Wednesday's school shooting in Georgia will make his first court appearance this morning. Colt Gray is accused of shooting over a dozen people at Appalachie High School in the town of Winder, in the deadliest school shooting in Georgia history. His father, Colin Gray, is facing multiple charges for knowingly allowing his son to have access to a weapon. Heat advisories and warnings are in effect from Arizona all the way to the Pacific Northwest today. The National Weather Service says nearly 70 million people are in danger of major or extreme heat risk. Affected cities include Phoenix, Las Vegas, Sacramento, and Seattle. Texas researchers say they've discovered an antibody that would protect against all variants of COVID-19. Tony Waterman with more.
The researchers say they discovered and isolated a neutralizing antibody called SC27 from the blood of a single patient. That antibody attaches to the virus and prevents it from infecting cells in the body. The team was then able to use existing technology to obtain the exact molecular sequence of the antibody, opening the possibility of mass manufacturing for future treatments. One option would be to incorporate the antibody into a universal vaccine. Tony Waterman, Texas.
The frequent flyer programs of the top four U.S. airlines are being investigated for unfair practices. Tammy Trujillo with the details.
The Department of Transportation said Thursday that it was launching a probe to make sure consumers do not face deceptive or anti-competitive practices from the major carriers. Reuters says Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg sent letters to American, Delta, Southwest, and United Airlines, ordering them to provide records and submit reports about their rewards programs. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And the Boeing Starliner, with no humans aboard, set to begin its journey back to Earth. It'll undock from the International Space Station tonight and land early Saturday morning in New Mexico. The ship is the same one astronauts Suni Williams of Massachusetts and Butch Wilmore used to arrive to get to the ISS, but they'll remain behind until February because the ship wasn't suitable for their return journey.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox hoping to snap their five-game losing streak entering tonight's series opener with the Chicago White Sox. First pitch from Fenway at 7:10. And the New England Patriots open the regular season on Sunday on the road with a visit to the Cincinnati Bengals. That game at 1, and you can hear it right here on WBSM.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Starting out this Friday morning with temperatures in the mid to low 60s under partly to mostly cloudy skies, and that is courtesy of a low pressure system over the Atlantic waters. It will remain dry today. Mostly sunny skies as we head into the afternoon, mid-70s, high surf and dangerous rip currents today into tomorrow due to that influence, indirect influence of that low pressure over the water. Patchy fog overnight, temperature around 60. Lovely tomorrow with more clouds and sun. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. We will always play the suite here. Glam rock is alive and well here on this program. Very quickly, I'm going to take this call in just a moment. So caller, hang on. But just very quickly, a couple things about that interview with Jamie Rubio. One, she had sent me a message after we recorded that and said she wanted to acknowledge Shannon Bradley Byers, who wrote about Bathsheba Sherman at the same time that Jamie was writing about her. So the two of them had similar research that has come out to help dispel some of these myths. The other thing, too, is she was talking with me after the interview and she said, you know, I hope I didn't come across as being too hard on Andrea Perrin for the way that she wrote her books. And for those who don't know, right now, Andrea Perrin is battling breast cancer, very advanced breast cancer. And she's having a tough time health-wise. And she just lost her mother a few months ago. And plus all the stuff that's going on in the Conjuring House, people keep contacting her about. So Andrea is having a rough time. So she wanted me to express that she did feel bad for having to, you know, seem like she was so rough on Andrea, but that she has to call her out for the things that she has found to be inaccurate. And Andrea has backtracked on a lot of the claims that she made. But as Jamie pointed out, as recently as last week, she was on a podcast saying, you know, that still kind of perpetrating some of these same false information about Bathsheba. So when Andrea's feeling better, we'll get her to come on the program as well. She is a friend of mine. So I got a message. Is it awkward for you as being a friend with Andrea as a journalist to hear somebody bad mouthing her? And the answer I can give to that is Andrea has no problem hearing it. She's used to it. So I don't think, it's not that hard for me. I can separate myself from my friendship with somebody and do my job. 508-996-0500. There was a caller on hold, but he dropped off. Must not have been able to hang on anymore. But if you want to call in, you certainly can. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I know that for a lot of people, you say, well, what does this matter? What does this matter if this woman died over 100 years ago? Why does it matter if we are trying to protect her reputation? And because the simple fact is, this could happen to any one of you. This was not a person of prominence. This was not a person who had a reputation in her time living in Burrville, Rhode Island. This is just a name that was picked out of a book, out of a cemetery, wherever they came up with the name. This is just a name that was picked and then ascribed to these horrible things to fit a narrative. So that could be you someday, that, 100 years from now, there's a haunted house in your town. And they're like, well, who could be haunting it? Oh, I don't know. It could be the ghost of Sketty. Sketty could be haunting this house and making life a living hell for the people that live there. Sketty, you would never do that, right?
No, I wouldn't. But I do feel bad. The people that was living in that house after the movie came out, I mean, they were sick of it, all the tourists and everything.
So I know that. So I will say this. So Norma Sutcliffe, who lived in that home when the movie came out, she changed her tune over the years. She was on an episode of Ghost Hunters saying that the house was, had paranormal activity. And then she came back and said that it didn't. So like she even changed her tune a little bit to try to keep people from coming to that house. But yeah, she had to sell it because she was tired of people showing up in her yard.
Yeah. It's just so much. And that's the one that Matt Riff wants to buy, right?
Yeah. He's looking at, his friend put on Twitter that they're interested in buying it and settling all the legal problems that she has as well.
Yeah, I like him. I know you said you didn't care for him, but I think he's very funny. At least the clips that I get to see on YouTube. I'm going to just change it up a little. First, I just want to say you were really, the show, the whole week has been really good. And every day you have said something so funny, really cracked me up. And I just have to say, when you were talking, Ramon was talking about cowboys and Indians. And then you said, oh, well, we used to play Indians and Pilgrims. And he asked you, how did that go? And you said, we just stared at each other, and then we sat down. And that went right over his head.
Yeah, he's probably not. He's probably not versed in Thanksgiving history being out there in Vegas as we are here.
Well, that was just so funny, though. I still crack up thinking about it. And then yesterday, I heard on the radio, I'm sorry, kind of out of breath. There's going to be an Indian powwow in Martha's Vineyard. And I would love to go to that. But first I have to see how much round trip ticket is on the ferry, because I won't go if it's a lot. And if it's free, I'll go, It just all depends on the cost of the ferry and if the powwow is free. So I was just wondering if Oak Bluff or somebody out there, Martha's Vineyard, knows how far is it from when you get off the ferry to this powwow. Like, do I need a cab or can I walk?
Yeah, I'll have to take a look and see if we can find any info on that. But generally, it's not that hard to get around the island. And I haven't been there in a long time, but I would assume that with the tourist season over, the prices have probably come down. So even if you need to get a cab, it won't be as bad as it would have been a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind walking. I can walk. Like up to 8 miles.
You can rent a bicycle. You can rent a moped.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot about, because I haven't been there probably in 15 years.
You can bring a bicycle with you on the ferry.
No, I don't own one. Third floor apartment living? No bicycle. I'd have to carry it down all the steps.
You can buy one on Facebook Marketplace on your way to the ferry, then you can take it to Martha's Vineyard, and then you can sell it to somebody on the vineyard before you leave.
Oh, that's too much work. I just assumed to rent it.
Well, so that works too.
I'm telling you, there you go with your funnies this week. And then I have something to tell you. So I was on my way down to downtown, and where County Street and Purchase Street fork off, Crispy Crunchy Chicken has a restaurant there now.
Yeah, so I'm working on a story on that. I actually stopped in there the other day. It's not just Crispy Crunchy Chicken. It is Crispy Crunchy Chicken. That is in there. But they've also opened a takeout Indian restaurant in there as well.
Oh.
And I had some of their food, and it was delicious. But the owner asked me to just hold off on writing about it and talking about it until they schedule their grand opening event. So it is open. You can go. They have a soft opening, but they're going to have a big grand opening event soon.
Oh, okay.
But I had some of the tenders there. They're very good. And I had one of his samosas, also very good.
Oh, yeah. I didn't have time to, go in or anything. But that's about it for me on my side.
Well, you have a good weekend.
Yes, you too. You too.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Let's take one more call here before I got to take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning. I'm going to have to give that Crispy Crunchy Chicken a try.
Yeah, I recommend it highly.
That's what I heard. You know, I hate to bring this back to politics, but I've heard so many stories told about Trump that I think a lot of people know are not true, and they're just complacent about it. I almost feel like you could remove Bathsheba's name and place Trump's name in there. I wonder if someday somebody's going to do a story clearing some of the things that have been said about this man.
Well, I mean, I don't know that it's an equal comparison because, you know, Donald Trump is somebody who has been chronicled by history. So for every story that might be out there that's false, there's somebody that's tried to report what's true. This is just an average person that really would have no imprint on the town history except for showing up in the census.
It's an amazing story.
And the fact that, you know, it took these researchers they did great work, but I don't think it was that much work for them to really find out the truth. And the fact that was never done ahead of time is what concerns me the most.
But there were so many people that knew that it was not true and just went along with it.
I guess, you know, you have to go back to the man who shot Liberty Valance, the line from that movie. When the legend becomes fact, you print the legend. And I think that might have been what happened in this case.
Seems like it. All right, have a great day.
You as well. I got to take a break here. We'll come back in just a few, 508-996-0500. We will be right back. Come back in. Of course, the Patriots are back. The first game of the season is this Sunday. We'll have the game right here on WBSM as the Patriots visit Cincinnati. Kickoff at 1 p.m., pregame at 10 a.m. And where are you going to go to get all the food you're going to cook up to watch the Patriots? Well, let's talk with Eric over at the Butcher Shop. Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
Hey, what's going on, Tim? How you doing, brother?
And football season is back, so I'm sure people are coming and grabbing stuff to throw on the grill and to have for snacks during the games.
Yeah, they're getting ready, man. A lot of Terrace Major going out the doors, a lot of ribeyes and everything.
Yeah, and you guys have some of the best chicken wings around there, too.
Hey, thanks for saying that, brother. Yeah, I think so.
So what else do you have for people this weekend?
Dude, I got tomahawks, I got sirloin, I got baby back ribs, I got everything you need.
And the best part is all the tourists have gone home, so you get all the meat to yourself. You don't have to fight the tourists anymore.
The tourists. We love the tourists. Bring them all. Bring them all year round.
And also, of course, the beer and the wine. You can get all of that as well at the butcher shop.
I don't even know why I'm on the radio. What'd you call me for? You know what's here, man. You know everything. You don't need me.
You're here because everybody loves hearing from you. You have become a character on this show.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And so everybody can go on down 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. I know that you guys always cook up some great food, too. What do you have cooking up that you're going to have for people today?
Well, today's Friday, man. A lot of fish today. We do codfish. We do the fish fillets. Yeah, we do some salmon. We do a lot of stuff, man.
Some of the best octopus I've ever had.
Oh, thanks, brother. I love octopus, too.
Yeah, I don't know why people sleep on that. It's one of the best things. And it's good for you, too.
It is, actually. People, you know. People watch that octopus teacher thing, they got all freaked out. They don't want to eat it anymore.
I purposely didn't watch that movie because I want to keep eating it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I eat it and I still watch it.
Well, what are you going to have this weekend while you're watching the Patriots?
to the house. I'm going to have some nice celebrity pork chops.
There you go. I got to come down and get some. People are asking me if I've tried them yet. I got to come down and get some. So I'll probably see you this weekend.
I thought you've had that. I thought, no kidding, huh?
No, I never. I always go for steak. So I've got to go and try those.
Yeah, a lot of people are afraid of pork. I don't know why. Pork's wonderful, dude. I think it tastes great. You got to eat something. And you know what? They're tender. They don't dry out. They're real good chops, man.
Well, everybody can come on down to the Butcher Shop, 123 Dharma Street in New Bedford. Thank you, sir. We will talk to you next week.
I'll talk to you, Tim. Have a good one.
You too. All right, that is Eric over at the Butcher Shop. Again, it's as I always say, it's an old-school neighborhood market where you can get everything that you're looking for. My number here, 508-996-0500. In the time that we have left, if you want to call in and chime in, we got a couple of app chat messages here. This comes from Grammy in Fairhaven. She says, "Hi, Tim. When we went to Martha's Vineyard this summer, if you are over 65, the bus is $5 for the day. Don't know if that's still applicable, but it might be something that can help Sketty if she checks that out." So there you go, Sketty. Check that and check into that. And also got a message from Not Bad Noak Bluffs, who says, "The Aquinna Powwow will take place Saturday and Sunday, September 7th and 8th at the Aquinna Circle. Please tell Sketty that the VTA bus will get her there. The bus stop is located across the street from the Oak Bluffs terminal at Ocean Park." So there you go. When you come into Oak Bluffs, you can get right on the bus. And you can take it right to where the powwow is going to be. Grammy saying that in the summertime, anybody 65 or over could get the bus for $5. I'm going to guess the bus is a nice affordable rate. If you're going to leave from Falmouth, it's not that pricey to take the ferry. It's actually even not that pricey to take the fast ferry from New Bedford with Sea Streak this time of year. Dalton, whatever works for you. So it should be a nice affordable way to get out there and experience the powwow. All right. 508-996-0500. Want to alert you to something that Ariel has at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. She has a story about the new Mirasol's Cafe location in Fairhaven. It finally has an opening date scheduled. So it's going to open next Wednesday, September 11th. So if you want to go in, if maybe you've never been to Mirasol's, because let's face it, it's always busy over in Dartmouth. Always. And some people are like, "Well, I can't find a place to park and I've never tried." The best thing about the Fairhaven Mirasol's is not only is it going to be nice and close to the radio station here, but it has a drive-through window. I cannot wait to see what the line is going to look like at that drive-through on day one. People are anxiously awaiting this. And so you'll be able to experience it and get the chippy. If you've never had one before, I recommend it. But people are really looking forward to this. It's a big, big deal. So that'll be happening next week, next Wednesday, the opening of the Fairhaven location of Mirasol's Cafe. I'm going to take one final break. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. Say, coming up on September 28th, Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven is going to be having their big fall tasting event, their fall favorite mini tasting happening on September 28th. And they're going to be supporting the Fairhaven Veterans Center as part of that event. So not only can you come down and try some of your fall favorites and or maybe have a new fall favorite from the things that you'll get to try at Stevie's Wine and Spirits on September 28th, but you'll be helping to support the Fairhaven Veterans Center. They have a raffle that's going on now. You can go down and get your raffle tickets. They have some beautiful glassware that they're going to be raffling off, as well as some other things. I was looking at some of these decanters and things that they have. I don't know which one I'm going to put all my tickets into. I might just have to do a little in this one, a little in that one, a little in that one. But they're going to have so many great prizes and so many things for you to taste. Again, that's happening on Saturday, September 28th at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. And I will be there for that. You can come on by and hang out with me. It's going to be a really great day. And they always have such knowledgeable people taking part in these tastings that can tell you about everything about the product. So you'll learn as well as sample. And don't forget, too, while you're there, to join the Rackhouse Club. If you're a whiskey, bourbon, rye fan, you will not only get a bottle every month for your membership price, you will also get 10% off all your whiskey and bourbon purchases at Stevie's as well. So check out steviewineandspirits.com for more details or follow them on Instagram and Facebook. One other thing to let you know about before we go. This comes from Firefighter Anthony. He says, good morning, Mr. Weisberg and fellow listeners. The New Bedford Fire Department, along with Pinnacle Auto Sales at 1421 Cove Road, will be hosting a child car seat safety check tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So it's happening at Pinnacle Auto Sales, 1421 Cove Road, tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. There'll be pizza, there'll be cookies and refreshments, and Fun 107 will be there as well. So go on by and take part in this child car seat safety check tomorrow, 11 to 2, happening at Pinnacle Auto Sales, 1421 Cove Road, with Pinnacle and with the New Bedford Fire Department. All right, well, that's going to do it for me for today and for this week. I hope everybody out there has a great day. I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll reconvene on Monday. We can discuss. I'm going to the Rob Zombie concert tonight. Who else is going to be there tonight? Rob Zombie, Alice Cooper, Ministry, Filter. Of course, I ordered some earplugs, but they didn't arrive in time, so.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.